I've listened to that song quite a few times, and I thought for a while maybe God said that's because you were going to be singing it. But it's just because, is that not a catchy song, a song that you want to keep on singing? But I hope that you were paying attention to some of the words that were there as well, because I think that some of the words of that song speak very loudly. Did you notice the very first words of those songs said, "Let our hearts not be hardened to those living on the margins. There is room at the table for everyone." Let's say a prayer before we go any further. Dear Lord God, we thank you that you are here with us. I pray that my words may be your words that you have for us here today, and that we may learn what it is to be hungry and to feed your people. Please be with us at this time. Amen. Let our hearts not be hardened to those living on the margins. There is room at the table for everyone. The Canadian Food Grains Bank puts out a newsletter every so often, and it came this week. And in one of the pages it says, "When you're hungry, you need food today, not tomorrow, not next week." That phrase from one of the Ethiopian partners implementing an emergency food response for people affected by drought sums up why responding to the needs of people experiencing hunger is so critical. Hunger is a need that can't wait. They say they're extremely grateful for the many Canadians who've donated to the famine appeal already, allowing emergency food and nutritious support to people in South Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Somalia, and Nigeria, who so desperately have needed it. One person who has helped is 17-year-old Namana Lamour, who lives in South Sudan with her widowed mother. The family used to own a herd of cattle. They ate things like milk and meat. But shortly after war broke out in South Sudan, their herd was raided. They lost all their animals. They planted a sorghum crop to get something to eat, but drought meant it did not grow. After that, Namana's family started gathering wood to make and sell charcoal. It's Namana's job to carry that charcoal to the marketplace an hour away, one sack at a time. It was a meager and difficult existence. Some days, the families ate nothing at all. Other days, they ate one meal a day. Thankfully, Namana's family is now receiving emergency rations through the Food Grains Bank to help them get by. Now, they don't have to wait until tomorrow or next week to get food. There are many more people like Namana's family who desperately need help. I don't think it is anything new to tell you that hunger is a daily need, something that's there every day. Why? Whether it's war, whether it's drought, whether it's no funds, whether it's not available, why doesn't change hunger? Why doesn't make anybody any less hungry? Hunger exists. This past summer, we had, I'm not a farmer, as you know, but the crops around here, there was lots of talk about, we need rain, we don't have very much rain, these crops aren't going to go too well if we don't have rain. And it wouldn't take too much imagination to continue that thought to say, what if there had been no rain? Not just in May and June and July or in August or September. There might have been a crop to harvest without any at all. But if we kept on having months and months of no rain, the crops that are planted either would be very meager or not at all. It's not too hard to drive over the river right now and say, it sure is low in that river. What if nothing came to fill that river? It's there now, and we're sure it's going to come, but what if it takes a little bit longer and a little bit longer, and there is no water in that river? This past week, I think we had the closest experience most of us will ever have to being a refugee. We didn't really suffer, although we all have a story to tell. In a few minutes, or maybe an hour, we had to leave. We packed up our things and we put them in our vehicles, in our cars, in our trucks, in our vans, and we drove down the road, and we went east, and we went north, and we went south, and we went away. We didn't have to walk. We didn't have to run. We didn't have to carry what we had, as many refugees do, but we still left. And we didn't know what was behind. Oh, most of us were pretty sure we were going to come back to a house. But then again, nobody really knew. In many ways, we were unsure of that. You made some decisions to take some things, as did I. What did you take? Did you look afterwards and say, isn't it interesting, the things I took, the things that in a few moments' time I thought was important, and I'm not saying they weren't. Some people said, I took a case of water. I thought, never thought of water. I had one or two bottles in my vehicle half full, but I didn't think of that. Some people grabbed the pictures off the walls, the photo albums, the paperwork, the tax returns. Someone said, I'm not doing those again, right? The things that we took that we thought were important. In my case, I texted Kira and Kayona, both of them, and said, there's talk of fire, there's talk of wind, anything that's really important here? So Kira started telling me some things, and I thought, Kira already downsized her life from all of 11 years in China down to 8 suitcases. 4 of them are at my house. Those 4 suitcases went in my vehicle. They didn't feed me, they didn't really clothe me, but they were her things and they were important. We all made decisions. Families got separated. Even if you intended to be together, some went this way and some went that. I don't have any family close here, but nonetheless of you, some of you have, brother went this way and a sister that way, or people went ahead of others. It wouldn't be very hard for us to think about how families can get separated if you can't come back. Or one comes back for someone, but the others have gone somewhere else. Violet talked about how she had gone to the hospital and felt if she hadn't gone at just that moment, she'd have ended up in a totally different place than Lawrence, she was telling me, and how happy she was that the two could be together that way. Did you take any food? I grabbed an apple, and there was some sunflower seeds in my vehicle, but I had a debit card, I've got money, I'm fine, right? I drove to Cabri. I was told to go east towards Swift Current. That's the direction that I went. And I tried to see if anybody else needed a ride, but in the end, I was by myself in my vehicle. I went to Cabri, and just as I got there, I thought, there's a grocery store, I'll go. The grocery store had just closed. And it opened again the next day, but what if that grocery store hadn't opened? What if there was nobody to open that? What if there was no food in that store? I met truckers in Cabri who weren't coming this way because there was nobody at IGA or whatever to open the doors to get those things. That's how stores get to have nothing, because the products don't get in. It's not because there isn't any a few hundred miles away, but it can't sometimes get to where it needs to be. My debit card was fine the next day at the grocery store, but I also got paid for a day of work I didn't go to. How long would they have kept on paying me for not showing up at work? If it had only been one day, fine. But what if it was 3 days, a week, a month? Do they keep paying you for not showing up? Do you keep having crops if they're not there to tend? If they burn up? If the livelihood disappears? So I really think that this week, we did not really suffer at all. We've all got a story, and that's an interesting story, but we really didn't suffer. And yet, I think we had the closest taste to what it's like to be a refugee. It doesn't take very much extrapolation for us to say how our circumstance could just be a little bit more serious and a little bit more serious. In a land of plenty, would we have gotten aid? Probably, but that depends on what happens, how big the fires are or the war that breaks out or whatever it might be. We became displaced. I stayed in my van overnight. I was fine. I had my winter coats, 2 layers. Might have been good if I'd have brought a blanket. I had one blanket in the vehicle. But I'm going to tell you, I picked up 2 blankets off the top of one of those suitcases and laid them down in order to take the suitcase. Why didn't I think of the blankets? Because I didn't think I needed it, because I was quick thinking, whatever. So I was in my van. I was protected. It was pretty windy. The van moved back and forth a little. And for a little bit of time, I had a thought about what it's like to be homeless. I had a jacket, I had one blanket, I had a vehicle, but that wind was still pretty vicious. And in the middle of the night at 2 or 3, it was a little cold, I have to admit. I didn't really suffer, but again, just a bit of a touch of what it's like to be homeless. Luke 10:25 says, I have to get to the right page here. Luke 10:25, it tells us a story. It's a story of someone who's talking to Jesus, and he says to him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus asks him. "Well, how do you read it?" The man says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, "You are correct. Do this and you will live." But the man goes on to say, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus tells him a story. It's a story that I'm fairly sure you are familiar with. It's a story of the Good Samaritan. It turns out that the person who was the most likely to help, the priest or the Levite, was not the one that helped. But instead, help came from someone who was, in that day and age, actually an enemy. Not really one that had much to do one with the other. Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? That's a good question for us to ask, the way the man in the story asked. Who is my neighbor? The inmates at the Bowdoin Institution think that some of their neighbors are people that are across the fence. And they worked this summer, or earlier in September, to have a walkathon to raise some money for people that they felt would be in need, that they could help, and that they could come alongside and help in the area of hunger. I have a picture that's in my Bible, and I don't think you can see it very well, but I really love it, because it's a picture of one man. It was taken in Kenya. It's a whole crowd of people. This is a food distribution. 5 years ago, I had the opportunity to be at this food distribution when food was being given out. And this man exemplifies the gratitude that was there. He said, "If it was not for love, you would not have come." The Food Grains Bank had food for them, and in this case, in a food for work program. And he experienced that love that he felt was there by someone who said, "You are my neighbor." They didn't know where the food came from. They may never know where Canada is. But at that point, this was somebody who was our neighbors. The gospel reading today in Luke 14 suggests that our neighbors are more than our brothers, our relatives, the people that we know nearby, our rich neighbors, our friends. It suggests that our neighbors are those that are poor, that are crippled, that are lame, that are blind, and that we, in extending our resources to those, would be blessed by doing so. The song said, "No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, there is room at the table for everyone." Then it said something that I think is profound and yet really something that we have to sometimes keep remembering. "There's enough if we share. There's enough if we share." Simple little sentence. Something we teach all of our children to do when they're young, to share. "There's enough if we share." Matthew 26:25. If you remember, we were studying the 5, 6, and 7. There was numerous passages that John Mark taught us from there. But one of them, 6:25, says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes?" And it goes on from there. In verse 33, it says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. So encourage us not to worry, because God knows that we need them. But then it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you." Yesterday, or between Friday and Saturday, I was at a retreat at the Alliance Church, and Rita was there, and it was a little verse that was on a package, and I believe it was from Billy Graham, and if I have it correct, it said, "God gave us two hands, one to receive and one to give." In Luke, the same words of "do not worry" are in chapter 12, I think. Just a moment. In chapter 12. But the story just before those same words, do not worry, is about someone who did not have a problem about no food. They had the total opposite problem. He had such an abundance of food, he didn't know what, of a crop, he didn't know what to do with it. And he says, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I've got so much, I think I'll have no place to keep it. I'll have to build bigger barns and to store it all. And there was nothing wrong with that, but what was wrong with it was his attitude. He said, then I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, drink and be merry. But God said, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Those are the important words as far as I know. What you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things, verse 21 tells us. Things for himself, but is not rich toward God. There's enough if we share. This same Breaking Bread has another article about some work that's happening in Kenya. And there, the executive director, Jim Cornelius, says, if we work together, if we take care of each other, if we share knowledge with one another, we know there is enough for everyone to eat. In addition to the Food Grains Bank and World Renew, he says to the people that were there, women's groups, farmers, the church, community members, and government officials are all working together with the resources we have in the county, he said, adding, we are privileged to come alongside you from the outside. About 70% of the families in this particular county rely on farming for their livelihoods. Yet many struggle to grow enough food to support their families and regularly experience hunger. Through the project, households are improving soil quality, moisture retention, and yields. During a recent drought that they had there, the households practicing conservation agriculture managed to harvest a crop, while many other crops in the community failed. Galatians 6 verse 2 said earlier, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. God desires us to be salt of the earth, light of the world. Matthew 5:16 tells us, from the time that we are baptized, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give praise or give glory to your Father in heaven. So the point there is, of course, the good works, but why? Why are we doing it? Not for ourselves, not for us to make ourselves look good, but for praise and glory to go to God. One of the things I grabbed when I was getting ready to go was, well, maybe I'll have time to read, because I like to read. So I grabbed a book. One I had from the library. I haven't started it yet. But I have to tell you that one of the very first pages of the book has this, a verse from Luke 2:48. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I believe that we are some of the people who have been given a great deal. An abundance of resources have been given to us, and so we are called upon to share those, as the verse said. There is enough if we share. Galatians 6 verse 9 had a caution to us. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Sometimes we might think that, well, we've already given. There's always going to be people that are hungry. And that may be true. But we are cautioned not to grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. And then it says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. I believe today on World Food Day is one of those days that we have an opportunity for us to do good to everyone. Another one of the songs that came with the package of information that we don't have today has this as a first verse. For everyone born, a place at the table. For everyone born, clean water and bread, a shelter, a space, a safe place for growing, for everyone born a star overhead. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice, justice and joy. There's enough if we share. You may have heard one other phrase that was in that song, and that said, here and now we can be the beloved community. I pray that that would be our wish and our desire today.